Good day, and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. From the management, we have with us Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi, Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Abhay Raj Singh, VP and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. I will now hand the conference over to Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to our Q2 and H1 financial year 23 earnings call. I trust you have all gone through our financials and the investor presentation that is available on exchanges as well as on our website. I would like to share some insights on the global economic growth and the Indian market before we delve into your company's performance for the second quarter. Then my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, will take you through our financials, post which we will open up the forum for Q&A session. So the global economy is going through a roller coaster ride as the central banks battle inflation through rate hikes. So though the commodity prices have softened in the last few months, the developed markets are still facing very high inflation and thereby prompting central banks to take very stringent steps. In the United States, the central bank, the Federal Reserve, last week approved a fourth straight rate hike to 4%, the highest Fed rate since 2008 crisis. Hong Kong and Norway have followed the suit, raising the benchmark rates to 4.25 and 2.5% respectively. This was followed by Bank of England raising interest rate to 3%, the biggest rate rise in three decades. With central banks still chasing inflation, the global growth outlook has weakened, with International Monetary Fund forecasting global growth at 3.2% in 2022 and 2.7% in 2023, down from 6% in 2021 in its latest global economic outlook. Apart from inflation, the global trade and investor sentiments are also impacted by uncertainty over Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the resulting trade imbalances. Frequent lockdowns in China following a zero-COVID policy is further destabilizing the global supply chains. These global challenges have led to broader and sharper than expected slowdown, alleviating the cost of living crisis, as the IMF puts it. Back home, the Indian economy, despite global uncertainties, is recovering, as is evident from numerous factors like factory growth, manufacturing purchasing managers index, optimism around fresh hiring and overall demand scenario. The Indian economy has shown resilience towards persistent high inflation and has clearly emerged as an outlier, with private capital expenditure expected to surge in the next half of the current financial as companies gear up to increase production and to add inventories to fulfill the growing demand. The optimism for the Indian economy is high in global investor community as well, which is shown by continuous FII inflows into the equities market. For the Indian market, there are factors that are a blessing in disguise. API is one such opportunity. While the world has looked at China so far for API, the supply disruptions amidst the COVID-related lockdowns is opening up a grand opportunity for the Indian API players, who are finding robust export inquiries. We believe that this situation is likely to persist over the next few quarters as Indian players vie for the Chinese share. For the pharmaceutical segment, we continue to de-risk and reduce the ibuprofen business and increase the share of the non-ibuprofen API business and other intermediates. Currently, the company is focusing on growing metformin, clopidogrel, fenofibrate, and doing capacity additions to grow our market share in some of these molecules. In the specialty chemical segment, the Indian players are trying to stabilize with commodity import price cooling off to a certain extent. We believe that the rise in energy and commodity prices is temporary and hence we've tried to absorb some portion of it, and some of it has been passed along to customers. As mentioned in our last call, we are in the process of setting up new capacities for both specialty chemicals as well as pharma products. By the time the capacities are up and running, we expect the headwinds to subside and therefore give us an edge in terms of operational efficiency and higher margins with increased production. During the quarter, we registered the research ticket for ethyl acetate and with a tonnage band of more than 1,000 tons per annum in according to EU REACH regulations on the chemicals and the safe use. This certification allows the company to export ethyl acetate across all countries in the European Union. Last week, we also received EDQM certification to supply pantoprazole sodium as well as API in the European market. With this, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, who will be sharing financials in detail. Over to you, Mr. Pradeep.
Thank you, Dr. Sanjay. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our performance for the second quarter ended 30th September 2022. I will take you through financial highlights for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2023. The total income of the company in second quarter of financial year 23 stood at rupees 546 crore as against rupees 540 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 22 and rupees 570 crore in previous quarter ended June 22. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 37 crore as against rupees 54 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 22 and rupees 61 crore in quarter 1 of financial year 23. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 6.7% as against 10.7% in the previous quarter. Net profit in the second quarter was rupees 15.70 crore as against rupees 31 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year and rupees 35 crore in the quarter first one of financial year 23. With this, we open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Venkat from 3 Sigma Financials. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. For the last several quarters, our margins have been coming down. What is the challenge? Are we not able to pass on the price or what kind of challenges are we facing now that the raw material prices also have come down? And freight prices have come down substantially. So is there some problem in product mix or what kind of challenges are you facing, if you can throw some light? And also, if you look at the sales numbers also, there are somewhere around 550 crores. So looks like there is some scalability issue also we are facing.
Okay. So let me, there are two questions you've asked. One is on the profitability as it relates to raw materials, and the second has got to do with scalability. So let me talk about the second point first. On scalability, there is no issue. If you look at, our business, we have two divisions on the chemical side and the pharmaceutical side. The chemicals business is capped in terms of volume because the capacity expansion that we are doing hasn't come on stream yet. So the revenue that we get on the chemical side depends entirely on the price of our key product, that is ethyl acetate. Okay. Now, if you look at the price of ethyl acetate in Q1 versus Q2, the price corrected by about 14%. And that's the reason you see the dip in sales for the chemical segment. If you look at our pharmaceutical segment, the pharmaceutical segment has actually grown. Okay. And that growth is related directly to the the volume and the asset utilization on the pharmaceutical side. So we are addressing the scalability issue by actually adding capacity on the chemical side, and there is no scalability issue on the pharmaceutical side. Now let me come to the profitability part. You are right in saying that now the raw material prices seem to have stabilized, but a lot of the raw materials that we buy along with our peers are actually imported, and therefore these orders are placed months in advance. So if you look at the chemical side, our key raw material, acetic acid, between Q1 and Q2, the acetic acid prices corrected by as much as 40%. And what that meant was that during Q2, we were left with a lot of inventory of acetic acid that we had actually purchased towards the end of Q1 at a much higher price. And in these kind of commodity products, it's not easily possible to pass on the entire cost increase. So if you look at, say the corresponding quarter for Q1 in the previous financial year, you will see that the chemicals business has shown huge profitability. And that was because the prices of raw materials had actually gone up. So we benefited in that quarter because we had a lot of inventory at a lower price. So when you look at chemicals, in some quarters you will come out ahead, in some quarters you will come out behind. But on an average, it is reasonable to expect that your EBITDA margins will be, maybe 6 to 8% range. On the pharmaceutical side, the raw material prices we've been able to pass along, and actually that is a business that is also running at about almost double-digit EBITDA margins. Yes, with our asset utilization going up, we expect these margins to go up as well. And the industry, the API industry, if you look at overall Q2, all our peers and competitors had highly muted numbers. And I think with the exception of maybe one large API player, almost 8 or 10 API players that I have benchmarked have all degrown their profits quarter on quarter. But I think it is good to understand, what is the baseline. And I would say that running an API business at about 15% EBITDA margin is a reasonably good quality business, and we will get there by the end of this year.
And how would the growth numbers look, sir, from next quarter, next year? So earlier we used to give a 15% growth projection, actually. So are we on the track, or are we not going to be there?
So this year we are going to show, some muted growth in the single digits. But next year going forward, in the next financial year, we are very confident of double digit growth in terms of value. Not just for you.
Okay. So my second question is on the specialty chemicals and chemicals, where, we are talking about EBITDA margin of 6 to 8%, while the cost of funds itself is getting closer to like double digit, So do you actually see value in expanding the capacity, or do you find justification in like returning that money to shareholders, and the management itself is a big shareholder, and they might be benefited with that. So 6 to 8% is even covering the cost of capital, actually, or close to cost of capital.
It's an excellent question, and if I were borrowing capital at 6 to 8% to run this business, then you're absolutely right. But I'm currently a zero debt company and meeting all my costs through internal accruals, so I'm not really, this is a notional cost, or the cost of borrowing as far as this business is concerned. And one is, of course, running the business. The other is, customers. So there are a lot of customers who buy from me, not only the specialty chemicals, but APIs as well. We cannot take long-term business decisions based on quarter-by-quarter performance. I mean, imagine for a moment that I have a very large pharmaceutical customer who's buying ethyl acetate along with APIs, and I walk up to this customer and tell him that, look, I understand you've been buying with me for the last 10 years, but today, this quarter, I'm not making money, so I'm stopping production. So I'm trying to sensitize you that, there are larger issues at play when you are dealing with, large pharmaceutical customers who buy a range of products that include specialty chemicals and intermediates and APIs.
No, there are two aspects that I wanted to mention, sir. Quarter on quarter, we have been discussing about the chemicals and specialty chemicals, EBITDA less than or probably in single digits. So this is not a specifically quarter-related problem. And the second point is we are adding capex on top of the existing capacities, actually, on something which has such a low capex, such a low EBITDA. So that is where my thought process comes, actually.
So I'm not actually adding a new plant for this right now. The capacity that I'm adding is I'm augmenting my existing capacity at a very modest capex that I'm funding through internal approvals without taking debt.
Okay. So you find justification in giving value to the customer. So that is the value add that you are providing by adding the capacities and the functioning of the chemicals and specialty companies.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I don't have any further questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash Kumar from Ritaya Cars. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Chaturvedi.
Good evening.
Sir, my question is regarding the expansion that we have planned. By when the capacity would be upstream and how much revenue are we going to generate from that capacity expansion?
So see, the current capacity expansion that we are doing in our existing site is roughly around 20,000 tons per year. And, depending on what the price of ethyl acetate would be, if the price of ethyl acetate is 100 rupees a kilo, that would add 200 crores. And if it is 80 rupees a kilo, it would add about 160 crores.
So, actually, my question was regarding the expansion which you had planned in the west side of India.
Okay. So that exercise is still ongoing. We have contracted, some credible partners to identify the site for us. And I think it will take maybe Q4 before we are able to conclude what we are going to do and at what scale we are going to do.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What margins we can expect from next two quarters? EBITDA margins.
So, I think it is reasonable to say that in the next two quarters, we'll be back into the double-digit margins as far as EBITDA numbers are concerned.
So you told that most of the companies' EBITDA margin has been reduced. But if you see Mule and Laboratories, Granules, Gujarat Chemies, even Solara has reduced their loss. Last quarter, they have made a loss, sequential loss, but now they have reduced the loss. But when comparing to that, we have shown a degrowth in terms of EBITDA margins. I understand it is because of the chemical division only, but due to the reduced cost of raw material and shipping cost, there should be some improvement. I was expecting some improvement in margins. And you, from last two quarters, you are telling that we will get to double-digit margins. But since then, I haven't seen those kind of margins.
Yeah. So, I think that recovery has been delayed a little bit. And you talked about some of the other players where their business model is somewhat different. So, you talked about companies that are actually not in, they are not pure play API companies. They are a combination of formulations and APIs. And some of them have a very strong CRAMS business. And as you know, CRAMS and formulation businesses run at significantly higher margins compared to API businesses, but they also carry very different type of risks associated with those. So if you really compare us within apple to apple within the pure play API segment, I think we are pretty much in line with the industry, and I'm very confident that in Q3 and Q4, actually if you look at our performance this quarter also, at least the API business has already delivered double-digit EBITDA margin, and that's going to improve significantly in Q3 and Q4. And what we also expect is an improvement in the performance on the chemical side as well.
Okay. next question, sir. If you see investor-friendly company, there will be bonus, there will be split, there will be buyback. But when I see in your company, nothing has been done since listing of the company. I think right issue has been done once, but among others, nothing has been done. So, and if I see companies which are really confident in their business, they are increasing their stake as a promoter. But I can't say anything in your company, sir.
So, you know, we've not initiated any buyback, but, you know, I think there are many ways to look at confidence in the business. Buyback is certainly one, but I would argue that the ability to put capex and the ability to invest money into R&D, the ability to invest money into human capital, there are a lot of ways to look at, you know, management confidence in the company. And this is actually a year I would argue that we've spent more on capex than any other year. And in fact, a lot of the capex spend that we've done has gone into things like, you know, EHS to take care of the environment, into warehousing. Now, these are investments into capex that don't necessarily translate directly into revenue. But to me, they are as strong of an indicator as, you know, buyback program.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Brian of Veza Devo from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So what is for this quarter, what is your capacity utilization in ibuprofen and ibubutyl benzene?
Okay. So I can tell you about the ibuprofen. My current asset utilization is about 75% or so, between 75% and 80%. And next few quarters I will take that to about 85%.
Okay. And you are adding additional capacities on the chemical front, so when can we expect that to come online?
So that should come online by the end of this financial year, so we will see approvals from that business in the Q1 of next financial year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Govindwala, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Thanks for the opportunity. I got only one question, sir.
Yes.
In last call, closing comments, you have told that IOR have come out with a strong set of numbers and these will only improve year on. This is almost in middle of last quarter after 4 days. So, now the results have come, medical is 40% down, margins are down 4%, and that is down 55%. So, how should we believe that going forward what you are guiding, it will be done when middle of the quarter, you know, your business better after 40 days have been gone in quarter, you don't have visibility of another 40 days also. So that, how should you believe management? That's what I'm asking, sir. You know your business better. Then you told that it will be improved from here on, but it has been grown. That is also 40-50%, not 10-20%.
Understand. You know, it's a valid concern, and I would say look at our business as a deconvolution of two different segments. One is on the chemical side and the other is on the pharmaceutical side. Most of the dip in performance has been on account of actually the chemicals front. You know, that's a business where not only did I lose profitability, I actually went into a loss for the quarter. Because on account of a huge inventory of the raw material at a much higher price. That has since been corrected. And also, the energy costs, you know, have gone up since the last quarter. So, my pharmaceutical business is still delivering double-digit margins. And now my focus in Q2 and Q3 is to A, completely turn around the chemicals business, for which I already have the visibility. And so if I look at the pharmaceutical business, through, you know, better control on costs and better utilization of the assets, But now, you know, as you've seen through our presentation, we've gotten regulatory approval for more and more products. See, the India business for most APIs is actually a very spot business, whereas the real money for APIs is when you export into regulated markets. As we grow that side of the business, and you know, the lead indicators for that are more and more approvals that you have on the CEP side and approvals from other European markets. So those are lead indicators. And today we are very confident that as an average, we will come back into double-digit EBITDA margins from next quarter onwards.
Thank you very much, sir. Only my request is that as investors, we depend upon your guidance all the time as we take investment decisions. So better to be a little conservative in guiding. That would be very helpful, sir. Built in some all this contingency in your guidance always. Don't that built in a rosy scenario. Take some contingency also. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mahesh Vyas from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of questions I have on our imports. What percentage of total consumption is from import? And what percentage of import is there from China? And the percentage of import excluding DCDA, because any which way we are dependent on DCDA on China.
So, I think if I look at on the chemical side, roughly 70% is imports. Okay. If I look at the pharmaceutical side and if I take out DCDA, then I would say that number would be maybe 15%.
15%.
Yeah, 1.5.
Okay.
Between 15 to 20% would be total imports, not including DCDA.
Okay. And any dependence on particular suppliers?
No. For every product that we import, we have multiple suppliers.
Okay. And I mean, outside India, including China, what percentage of import of total business?
Can you repeat your question?
Total import percentage of business, including pharma and chemical, both. Total
maybe around
import.
Yeah, maybe around 40% or so.
Okay, so we are 40% dependent on imports.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Speak
a little louder, please.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is regarding ethyl acetate, the prices which were there in quarter two, and how are they moving now? And also for the acetic acid, how are they in quarter two, and how are you seeing it in current scenario?
So the prices of ethyl acetate in Q2 versus Q3 have been fairly flat, and the prices of acetic acid have shown a marginal dip, but they. You know, the real change happened between Q1 and Q2 and not between Q2 and Q3.
Okay, and how are you seeing the demand scenario? Because there was in some con call, they said that China is dumping a lot of ethyl acetate in Europe, and that's why the demand is going down. So how are you seeing the demand in India currently?
So I'll break down the demand into two geographies. One is domestic and the other is outside India. In the domestic demand, there is not much disruption. We don't have too much ethyl acetate being imported from China. But clearly in the overseas markets, the Chinese have been gaining market share. But that does not again impact us too much because traditionally, historically, IOL has not exported a lot of ethyl acetate to Europe.
And so currently, how much of ethyl acetate are we exporting, or it is negligible?
Our current exports of ethyl acetate are roughly around 20%.
Okay. And once this capacity expansion is live, and how are we seeing the it to get absorbed in domestic market? Because
so we are very confident that you know, roughly 70-80% of that will get absorbed into the domestic market, and the balance will go to the exports of our regular export customers.
Are there any new players coming in for ethyl acetate, and do you think the demand would get absorbed, like the supply would get absorbed in the domestic market?
No, we are not aware of any new players coming into ethyl acetate with scale.
Okay. Okay, fine, sir. Thank you. That was it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please.
Yeah, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, you mentioned in your first participant's question about higher inventory, high cost inventory in our chemicals business. So, is it possible for you to quantify what percentage of margin we would have lost in that business because of high cost inventory?
No, that would be unfair for me to give you an exact number of how much margin I would have gained if I did not have that inventory. Because that is a hypothetical question.
Or if maybe on an average basis, if our inventory would have remained at the same level as last year, then how much inventory or how much margin we would have made?
See, it's not just the inventory issue, it is the pricing of that inventory, really.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the relationship of the raw material inventory versus the finished product pricing in the market? The challenge for me is not inventory management. The challenge for me is managing the price at which I sell the end product and the price at which I buy the raw material, because that is done a few months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a timing issue more than inventory management issue.
Understood.
Believe me, you know, if acetic acid was available domestically through manufacturers in India, none of these high acid manufacturers would be facing this issue.
Got it. Understood. So you mentioned acetic acid prices were 40% down sequentially. How much is it on a YOY basis?
On the year-to-year basis, roughly around the same, maybe 40% or so. But the thing is, these prices came down not over a period of 1 year. These prices came down over a period of weeks.
Understood. Sir, just a question on metformin. What is our capacity utilization, and have you seen some change in pricing on metformin?
So, metformin is one of those dynamic products where you will see change in pricing, if not month on month, at least quarter on quarter, depending entirely on what is the DCDA import price. So, if I look at historically, these prices used to be, you know, in the domestic market below 300 rupees a kg, and then they went up to 400, even beyond 400 rupees a kg. Then they came down to about, you know, 330, 340 levels, and they still continue to be in the 320, 330 rupee levels even now. Our asset utilization is about 90%.
Understood. And any plans of expanding capacity in metformin?
No, not yet.
Right. And what percentage of metformin is sold in domestic market versus exports?
So currently, most of it is domestic for us. I would say about maybe 10% is into the export market right now.
And any price differential between export and domestic market?
Oh, most certainly. There is a significant price differential, and that's the whole reason why we filed for regulatory approvals both in US as well as Europe. And our focus is to improve the share of our business. So you asked about, am I planning to add capacity? No, I'm not planning to add capacity. I'm actually planning to shift the quality of customers and go more towards the regulated market.
The price difference would be anywhere about 20-25% or higher than that?
Well, I would say it's at least 20% depending on the customer and volume.
Got it. Understood. Sir, lastly, on the CAPEX, are we still sticking to the 100-150 crore CAPEX guidance per annum?
Yes.
Understood. Sir, lastly, any update on PAP project? If you can give some color as to what is the quality we are achieving right now.
Can you repeat your question? I missed that out.
The update on PAP project.
Okay. Okay. So, we are making our own paraaminophenol, and the paracetamol that we make is through our captive PAPs. We've ironed through all the quality issues, and there is no issue in terms of making our own PAP and making our own paracetamol from PAP.
Understood, understood. Sir, what is your guidance you would be giving on the non-IBU side? What is the kind of top line you want to achieve, let's say, 2 years down the line? We are at about 500 crores in FY23. So what is your sense, given the new pipeline is largely non-IBU and higher margin products, what is your sense there?
I would say in the next 2 years, one should expect that the non-ibuprofen portfolio will exceed the revenue from the ibuprofen portfolio.
Understood. Understood. Any price change in ibuprofen you've seen? Or is it still about $11 or something?
So the price is still, you know, between $11 and $12 for the export market, and it's slightly lower for the Indian market. And that pricing continues to be stable.
Understood. Understood. That's all from my side. And thank you and wish you all the best.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions on ibuprofen. So I wanted to know your market share in terms of capacity in, and in value terms for ibuprofen.
I can give you the market share in capacity terms. We have roughly 1/3 of world market share. So, you know, that gives us roughly about 33% or so of capacity and market share. Because we are also backward integrated, we are supplying some of these intermediates to some other ibuprofen manufacturers. So if I add that in, you can maybe add, I think it could be fair to say that, you know, through a combination of API and intermediates, we command maybe upwards of 50% market share.
Okay, got it. And so what would be a monthly run rate for ibuprofen currently?
So our monthly run rate is, you know, we are running at about 75-80% of capacity. So we are roughly around 800 tons a month.
Okay, and do we look to, like, increase it at a monthly rate?
So we are looking to improve the run rate, but I'm not looking to add capacity into ibuprofen right now.
Okay, got it. That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shamai, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Good evening, Dr. Chaturvedi. My first question is, the acetic acid raw material inventory, which is corrected right now. So are we, for the current month or for the current quarter, our inventory is on the higher side of the what price, or it is already the corrected value we have what now?
So all the high value inventory that we had for our chemicals business, we exhausted, and we are in line to have the right volume of inventory and be profitable in the chemicals business, not only for Q3, but also for Q4.
Okay, thanks. And another one is, as you said, the capex of the 20,000 ton a year for ethyl acetate. May I know when it will be completed? Apologies if I already answered it.
So, the capex for ethyl acetate, the plant should be up and running by the end of this financial year.
Okay. And finally, the last one, sir. What is the overall revenue growth you are expecting for this financial year?
For this financial year, it should be muted in the single digits. But for the next financial year, we are very confident of double-digit top-line growth.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Venkat from 3 Sigma Financials. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for the opportunity. Sir, there is some energy issue in Europe, and our biggest competitor has closed one plant, which is in Germany, while he's running in Texas. So are we seeing any dynamics in this one paracetamol where it has reached like $15 or something, or the media information is wrong?
So your information is right. The difference is that the competition that you're talking about they do not make ibuprofen in Europe. The ibuprofen is actually made in the US. So, you know, a plant closure in Europe does not impact that.
Okay. So none of the APIs that we are actually, you know, manufacturing has any influence on power issues in Europe. Is my understanding right?
Well, not directly, but indirectly they do, because the power cost has gone up in India as well. So if you look at, you know, Q1 versus Q2 margins for all pure play API players, and, you know, all API manufacturing requires a significant amount of power, what you will see that margins have muted or gone down for almost all the pure play API players. And power has a huge role to play in it.
Okay. So my second question is, when I look at our portfolio, the portfolio looks very good actually, you know, when we look at the APIs, you know, and those are like repetitive kind of medication that we take. So, you know, when I look at the growth in our pharma business plus the inflation, you know, it is not such a substantial increment, you know, even in our pharma business. So, are we losing out some customers who are traditionally our buyers, or what is happening? Because these are repetitive medicines, you know, most of the medicines that are in our portfolio are kind of repetitive. Are they having kind of overstock or can you throw some light on that, please?
Yeah. So, if I look at, you know, the portfolio, I mean, let me take the simplest portfolio that I have, which is really, you know, ibuprofen, metformin, paracetamol, and clopidogrel. In all of these molecules, my current capacity is capped. Okay. I have, you know, with the exception of adding some capacity in paracetamol, I really haven't added any capacity in the last 1 year. So, my way to improve the business is to actually improve the quality of the business rather than sell more volume.
No, higher volume will translate to higher. Oh, so unless you increase the capacity, you cannot basically increase the revenue, the top line. Is that what you're saying, sir?
No, what I'm saying is that without increasing capacity, I can improve the quality of the business by selling more and more into regulated markets where I have a higher price realization. So my revenue actually goes up without addition of capacity. And my profits also go up, because all the extra pricing that I get gets directly into my bottom line.
So coming to capacities, one is the regulatory, approach that you are going to get. Probably you are work in progress and I am not going to ask you details on that. But what is the thought process on increasing the capacity of some of these medicines? You know, in the last call you mentioned there are some medicines which are almost like $100 as well. Do you see challenge in demand or to increase the capacity, or do you see other challenges actually?
Our bottleneck is not capacity right now. Our bottleneck is higher volumes into the regulated markets. So our focus entirely is on improving the asset utilization and selling the higher quantity that we manufacture into regulated markets. That will improve both the top line as well as bottom line.
Okay. But when I look at the medication, you know, I cannot watch about ibuprofen and metformin and paracetamol. But if you look at other medicines, these medications are expensive even in India. So you mean to say that the formulations are having a better margin on this one compared to API players?
Well, I can't comment on the margin for formulations, but what I can tell you is that the API players in those segments, and I think you are referring to molecules like pantoprazole and a few others, which are higher, or clopidogrel. Here, you know, the profit margins are certainly better when you export into regulated markets rather than selling the IP grade material to domestic formulators.
Even lamotrigine also is a higher price medicine.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I miss your response to that. Can you just repeat that, please?
Yes. Yeah, what I was saying was that I don't want to comment on the profitability of formulators. But what I can tell you is, whether you look at lamotrigine, you look at clopidogrel or pantoprazole, the API manufacturers in these products make more money when they export to regulated markets versus selling to IP grade material in the domestic segment.
Okay. So even Dabapentin and all these also, these are like nice products actually. So the portfolio looks interesting actually, but you know, at the end of the day, we need to start seeing those numbers translating, and that would happen once we get the approvals. Are we looking at US FDA also as in the roadmap, or how are we actually?
Absolutely. We already have US FDA approved. Our plants are already US FDA approved. And we have DMFs for a couple of products. We continue to file more and more DMFs. And as those approvals come in along with the CEP approvals, you will see the share of our business grow both in US as well as Europe. And that will improve both top line as well as bottom line.
Okay. So any new molecules? Yeah, you mentioned that there are some molecules in pipeline. Do you want to share which molecules are those in R&D, or you want to just wait till those are actually, announced?
So we will wait for this announcement, but some of the ones that we've already announced, certainly, paracetamol, where not only have we introduced the molecule there last year, but we are also expanding capacity on that molecule, as well as we filed regulatory paperwork for approvals in both US as well as Europe.
So again, when you look at the portfolio and look at paracetamol, sorry for extending the conversation, and I apologize for those who are waiting for the call, for the turn. Sir, when you look at the portfolio, the other portfolio looks like, they are like high value and high volume business, but paracetamol is high volume and low margin business. So why are we focusing on paracetamol? I'm just trying to figure out what is the strategy behind that.
I think the strategy behind that is, you're right, it's a low margin business if you don't have backward integration. But if you are completely backward integrated into PAP, so like us, we make our own paraaminophenols. And so we don't believe this is a low margin business.
I see. Okay, sir. Thank you very much and good luck. Looking forward for next year, sir.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Behzad Devo from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so you said your capacity utilization, ibuprofen capacity utilization is around 75 to 80%. So what is the peak capacity utilization you can reach?
I mean, in principle, we can reach a peak of about 95% or so.
Okay. And can you give your share regulated markets and emerging markets?
No, at this point I can't give you my shares, but what I would like you to understand is the nature of this business is evolving and changing very rapidly. So a lot of customers in India are buying regulatory grade products that they are converting into formulations and then exporting into regulated markets. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, even what calls as a domestic sale for me, not all of it is going into the Indian market as formulation. Some of it is getting exported to US and Europe and other countries, of course.
Understood. And my last question is on ethyl acetate. What is the reason for such a volatility in prices?
Can you please repeat your question? What is the reason for
the volatility in the ethyl acetate prices?
The volatility related directly to the volatility in raw material prices, where the key one is actually, acetic acid. So ethanol has also seen volatility, but perhaps not to the same extent as acetic acid.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is on this patent which you were granted for sitagliptin process from Indian Patent Office. So just wanted some more detail on it, and will we be able to get some share from other players, domestic players, from this patent? Like, how is it going to benefit us?
See, it will benefit us because it's a novel process. It's a novel process that's a greener process. It's a novel process that will translate into a cost advantage. The cost advantage should translate into higher market share when we launch the product.
And when are we planning to launch the product?
You know, this is still under development and validation, so I think it could be a few quarters out.
Okay. And on one thing, you said that our current bottleneck is selling and populating in regulated markets. So how are we planning to do that? Like, are we very aggressive in filing, or how is management pursuing that?
So, you know, it's a slow and steady aggression rather than going all out. And what I mean by that is, if you look at historically, we filed maybe one product a year. Since last year, we've increased our filings to at least four products every year. And we think that at a steady state, we can do 5 to 6 product filings every year.
Okay, cool. And on this EBITDA for chemical, you said that 6 to 8% is a sustainable range for chemical business. I just want to understand, considering our ROE, ROC is upwards of say 12% and 13%, don't you think buyback or something else makes more sense than for me to be okay with a 6 to 8% of EBITDA margin? I'm just talking in front, like on point of a capital allocation perspective. I understand it is from internal accrual, but it would have an opportunity cost.
Sure, it will have an opportunity cost, and as I was telling earlier, that, you know, buyback is one of the ways to show confidence that the management has in the business. There are multiple ways to show that confidence. You know, one is through CapEx, the other is through investment into R&D, third could be investment into human capital. And all of these things, you know, I mean, our R&D, we more than doubled the expenditure in the last 1 year. If you look at our CapEx, this financial year will be the highest ever CapEx spend that we've had. You know, in terms of human capital also, we've spent a lot of money training and developing and, you know, making sure that our leadership first line and the second line is ready as well. So, you know, from a pure, what you're talking is a pure finance perspective. The challenge with the other things that I'm talking about is it's very hard to put a dollar metric and see what the ROI on CapEx will be or what the ROI on, you know, R&D will be. But those are more long-term initiatives, and we believe that in order to build a sustainable business and a sustainability not just in terms of the environment, but sustainability in terms of business growth, in terms of business stability, in terms of the profits in the business, we believe it is important to invest in people, in technology, in R&D, and also in CapEx.
Okay, that was it from my side. Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So my question is on the inter-segment line item. We were about 25-30 crores in FY21, which is now about 115 crores in H1. What exactly is this line item, and if you could explain what how should we look at the trajectory going ahead?
Yeah. So that is really, you know, the internal line item is related to isobutylbenzene, monofluoroacetic acid, and acetyl chloride. This is the business where, you know, we make on the chemical side and then do a transfer pricing to our pharma business.
Understood. So should we, I mean, there should be around 200 crores every year, or?
Does it also depend on the pricing? Yeah, I think it depends on the pricing, it depends on the volume, but, you know, it will be in the 150 crores plus minus every year.
Understood. So just on the REACH certificate, congratulations to you for getting the certificate. What kind of spends are we making per annum on these REACH certificates for getting approvals, product registrations in Europe and other regulated markets?
So the REACH certification spend is, you know, pretty modest. It's not something that is a very large number. But what it does is it opens up opportunities and doors for you to export into Europe. And, you know, if I look at today, the timing does not seem right because the Chinese have crashed the, you know, China's prices. So I think in the next one quarter or so, I would not be looking at any generating large volume business in Europe. But I think more than the spend, what it demonstrates to customers is the intrinsic capability and the strength of the manufacturing team that is supporting the front end.
Got it. Got it. So lastly, just trying to understand, I was going through numbers over the last 3-4 years, in fact 15-30 quarters. Our chemicals, our pharma business top line has ranged between 250 to 300 crores. But on the other hand, our EBIT margins have drastically fallen to single digits. You mentioned that incrementally our pipeline is the higher margin business, which is translated to non-IBU, other API business, which is now accounting for about 22%, but it's not really translating on the margins front. Does this signify that IBU business margins have fallen drastically to sub 15%?
So I would have, you know, two points you should focus on. One is certainly, you know, in ibuprofen, because of the price decrease, there has been some fall in the profitability of the ibuprofen business. But the other point is that as we grow the non-ibuprofen business, I need to reach that asset utilization beyond the critical point for that to turn profitable. And the second part there is, I also need to turn a significant portion of that business away from just the plain domestic market to get higher profitability. So the challenge for, you know, not only for us, but anyone building API business from the ground up is, first you build a manufacturing plant and your first objective is to run that plant to as high asset utilization as possible. And, you know, that typically comes from the domestic business first, where your margins are actually very low. And as you, you know, parlay that volume more and more into regulated markets, that's when the profitability of that plant starts to grow.
Got it. So two questions related to this. So at 240 crores in H1, what is the kind of asset utilization in non-IBU business, and what is the kind of EBITDA broken even at 240 crores?
So, you know, asset utilization is currently in the range of, you know, 50% plus minus. Some plants are running at 70, some are running at, you know, slightly below 50. And I think going forward, once that number goes above 60% overall, 65%, that's when the, you know, profit churn really starts to happen.
So does this mean that we're still at EBITDA negative in the non-IBU business?
So we are almost neutral now.
Understood. Got it. Thank you so much, and bye.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Mahesh Abhyas from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Mahesh, you're audible.
Yeah. So can you take me through your chemical business? I mean, how you have been through to the business till now, and what you expect from a long-term horizon point of view, let's say from 3 to 4 years?
Okay. In the last 3 to 4 years, I would say that my capacity, you know, I'm again focused on the primary product, which is thiolactate, that dominates my chemicals business. I do about, you know, 100,000 tons. So if the price of the thiolactate is 1,000 rupees, you know, I mean, if it's 100 rupees, I'll have a 1,000 crore business. If it's 80 rupees, I'll have a 800 crore top line. So that's the range in which the chemicals business will operate. And what I'm doing now is I've just expanded that capacity by about 20%. So next financial year, you should expect a 20% higher number in top line from that business.
Okay. And what EBITDA margins do you expect from here?
So, you know, that business should consistently give me around 6 to 8% EBITDA.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi from IOL Chemicals for closing comments.
So, thank you all very much for joining us today and listening to us, you know, on the second day of our quarter results season. As we discussed, the Indian economy is emerging as a green shoot amidst a slowdown globally. However, the domestic pharma and specialty chemicals have their own challenges, and the companies in both these segments have their own armor to fight these battles. Here at IULCP, we are dependent on de-risking our business. We are adding more and more APIs to our portfolio and backward integration to really increase market share and build a robust and sustainable growth trajectory. With this, I would like to conclude the call. Thank you all and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.